You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes!
The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show? The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Not one more minute can go by in anyone's life without us addressing how good Iman Shumpert has been on Dancing with the Stars. I can't believe it's taken us this long to get to it. I don't know if Billy, amid all of his reality television watching, is doing any watching of Dancing with the Stars. So
I am not.
So nothing. Iman Shumpert, have you seen any of this? Because what he did, I guess it's last night. Last night is when I saw it.
No, I think it was from earlier in the week, but it's been popping. He's had a couple of performances that have gone viral on Twitter. I'm not really sure who else is in the cast. I think The Miz, a wrestler and former guest of Mystery Crate, is on the cast, but Iman Shumpert is apparently running away with this competition. It's from the videos I've seen, he's incredible.
Best athlete I've ever seen doing it by leaps and bounds, and I think his wife is a choreographer, and he's famous for reasons that extend outside of basketball. I think he's more famous, I think I have this right, as a reality television star than he is as a basketball player, but his dancing is extraordinary, Stugatz, and his partner is so light and he is so large, right, that he can physically pick her up very easily without any problem, and it makes the dancing very fluid.
It looks like he got a perfect score. LeBron James tweeted about him saying it's as good as he's seen an athlete dance ever. Like, I didn't know Iman Shumpert could cut a rug.
LeBron does a lot of watching athletes dance, and he's the qualified one to tell us who the best athlete dancer ever is.
Cutting of a rug. I want to examine this phrase. I want to examine who says it, when it's said, the era that someone has said about the cutting of a rug. Is that someone dancing so well that the rug is cut by the way that person's feet move?
Or origin comes from the 1920s and 30s when couples would dance the jitterbug.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Have you ever used the phrase to cut a rug?
The jitterbug was a vigorous dance that, when done continuously by many couples in one area, it would make the carpet appear as if it were cut or gashed.
That is not true at all.
You were around in the 20s?
I mean, come on.
No, my bad.
I'm maintaining
my bad. You're a jitterbug expert.
Ask LeBron.
Let's ask LeBron.
I'm maintaining that no one in the 20s was doing the jitterbug so well that it looks like carpets and rugs were being cut. I'm just saying it with the skepticism of having seen people dance and knowing what little I know about the jitterbug. I just don't believe that a rug, that the visual of a rug being cut is the fury with which they were dancing in the 1920s.
I mean, it's the literal definition of cut a rug, Dan. I don't know what else you want. I will keep searching for an answer that you're okay with.
How many things in his life do you think LeBron thinks he's an expert on?
All
and
of
people
them.
Around him
Everything.
Are like, yeah,
All
yeah, that's right.
All
yeah.
of
Bunch
them.
Of yes men. Yeah.
All of them, mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm. Wine.
Yeah.
Zero
yeah.
Dark 30. Do you the think Godfather.
He, do you think he surrounds himself with anybody that says, nah, you're wrong about this one, Bron?
Well, the oddly enough, the creator of Squid Game has called out LeBron because LeBron was criticizing the ending to Netflix's most popular show at the morning, at the moment. And the director, according to The Guardian, forgive me if I'm not pronouncing his name correctly, Don Hyuk writes, "Have you seen Space Jam 2? Is wow. what his... Oh, Billy, you like that one? Are you laughing?
It's funny. I haven't seen it, but it's oh, a snap. Funny retort.
LeBron James is cool and can say what he wants. I respect that. I'm very thankful he watched the whole series, but I wouldn't change my ending. That's my ending. If he has his own ending, that would satisfy him. Maybe he can make his own sequel. I'll check it out and maybe send him a message saying, I like your whole show except the ending.
I feel like the people around LeBron have like scrubbed that from everywhere. Like whatever the new modern day is, get all the newspapers in this area so he doesn't see the news. They did that with that.
You think that he's got what Phil Jackson would say is a posse of social media scrubbers?
I would not have put it that way, no.
He's got a cousin, Greg, that's in charge of media monitoring.
Have you watched that show, by the way?
Succession?
No. What was the first one LeBron was commenting on?
Oh, my God.
Squid Games? Yeah, is it any good?
It's not Squid Games. It's just Squid
Games.
Is it good?
I mean, it's a monster hit. I've seen the first two episodes.
I know it's a monster hit. I'm asking you guys, because I respect your opinions, if you've watched it, does anyone think it's good?
10 Day says it's good.
I haven't seen it yet because I'm too scared. It looks scary.
The premise is a game show stakes for your life is what the premise is. So that
I
is,
mean, for your life sounds like something I would like.
Yeah, it's like The Running Man.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Win or go home. Yeah.
Look at an eager Roy making
I was about
an
to
appearance.
Say it. I was about to bring it up. Mike beat me to it.
It's like The Running Man, I believe the 1986 classic, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, Richard Dawson.
Although it wasn't remade, right? No, Total Recall was the one of the Schwarzenegger vehicles that was...
It was 87 for Running Man.
Yes, so Richard Dawson and The Running Man were well ahead of their time. Hey, get back to me, Squid Game. When you do something that wasn't done 40 years ago by Richard Dawson and Arnold Schwarzenegger, game show stakes for your life. I was confused because I checked in on it just because of the word of mouth. And I was under the impression when I got to it that it was just a game show. And I'm like, there's a popular Netflix game show. And then it was explained to me, it's a game show for your life. And I'm like, it's not real, is it? Because in 2021, I can't totally...
We can't get away with that.
You think you can't get away with that in 2021, but I was just making sure.
In 2021,
sign a waiver.
No, there are Russian reality shows that take part in the Siberian woods in the dead of winter, and it's basically who survives.
That's Survivor, though. I mean,
no, it's not Survivor.
Survivor's falling
off. Oh, okay.
I'm telling you, though, that when I tuned in, I was confused because I was looking for a game show and it was clearly a movie. So I that's where I gave up on it right there in my
miniseries. It's a series, not a movie.
Okay.
Before the kids get in your Menchies.
Okay. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Are you always made deeply uncomfortable when the kids get in your Menchies? Also, put it on the poll, at Levitard Show. Is there any reason on earth to shorten mentions to menchies.
Of course.
Jessica wasn't here with us yesterday. She was off, but we enraged her. And go ahead and have at it.
Oh, my. You guys don't know anything about Pittsburgh. It was very frustrating to listen to. I just sounded like I was from Minnesota for like 2 minutes. Do you guys hear that? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Okay. But Pittsburgh is not in the Northeast and it's not in the Midwest. It's its own distinct region, part of Western Pennsylvania. If you tell someone from Pittsburgh they're in the Midwest, they will laugh at you. It was very frustrating to listen to.
Okay, but it's not in the Northeast, which was the crux of the debate.
No, I mean, it's in the Eastern time zone.
So what do they say? Like, you're from Pittsburgh, what do they say?
Is Rust Belt something they say?
Rust Belt is more of like a socioeconomic region than a geographic region, though.
Okay.
But I asked people from Pittsburgh. I asked my mom. I asked some of my friends. I was like, what do you consider Pittsburgh? The most common answer, first of all, everyone said something different. No one said Northeast or Midwest. Okay,
so you're getting enraged and you're saying that you're vomiting on your devices and stuff, and yet you asked your family and people from Pittsburgh, and they're like, we don't know where we're from.
Well, they all said it's definitely not Midwest, and it's definitely not Northeast.
Okay, you've told us what it's not. What is it? Because it's not Rust Belt either.
My mom said Appalachia. My cousin said Appalachia feels spot on. I said, what about like Ohio River Valley? She said no, because people from Pittsburgh will think you're confusing them with Ohio, and people in Pittsburgh hate the state of Ohio, like blood feud there. And then my other friend said Pittsburgh's in Pittsburgh, which I think is actually probably the most accurate.
Put that on the poll, Guillermo. Is Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh?
And then my other friend said Pittsburgh is too gritty to be in the Midwest, which I took offense to.
Well, but this is happening. These Pittsburgh people seem to be real offended by where we put them regionally while not knowing where we should put them regionally. Like, what is happening there?
That's
right.
Correct.
You tell us. I mean,
okay, you want to tell us what it is, fine, but all you're doing is telling us what it's not.
I think what it is Western Pennsylvania. Western Pennsylvania has got a little blend of everything. It's like the North Appalachian Mountains.
But you don't do like regions of the country. Here's the Northwest. Here's the Midwest.
And
here's Western Pittsburgh,
you do, Dan. It's a very distinct region because it has the sensibilities of the Midwest, but it's not the Midwest. Yeah. It's not flat like the Midwest. It's not farmland like the Midwest. It's very hilly, mountainous region. The dialect is even its own dialect. Pittsburghese is completely different than how people in Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois sound. It's also not Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Philadelphia would be the East Coast. Completely different vibes, like night and day
cities.
Did
we get it wrong? What did we get wrong that made you say that you wanted to vomit on your devices?
Well, because none of you said what I just said, and none of you texted my mom to see what her answer was.
No one knows what you said.
We kind of nailed what it wasn't. Okay. But Miami's a lot like Pittsburgh, too, because if someone referred to Miami as the South, we'd all be like, we're not the South. We're barely Florida.
We would say Southeast, no?
No, I would never.
Well, Stugatz he's not in Miami. No. You're basically in Georgia.
You're in Duval.
You're in the South.
That's a good point.
You guys,
we're in the dirty, though.
You guys are okay with LeBron deciding where Pittsburgh is, and then we can move on?
Sure.
Perhaps. But he's from Ohio, so he's biased.
Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginners or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. And now with Peloton Entertainment, you can keep moving and watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. And if you don't have a bike, take a dance class, take a core class, take Pilates, take a stretching class, start a program with Andy, do a core program with Emma. You can do it all at Peloton. You can get a Peloton row, and you're not even going to get wet because it's inside your own house without water. How'd they do it? I don't know. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike rentals. Terms apply.
Speaking of Pittsburgh, Stugatz, Mike Tomlin made an appearance in the news yesterday.
Yeah.
Splash.
With a hard no on USC. He was asked about USC rumors.
The hardest of no's. That's how you squash a story, my man.
Splash.
Why is the my man in there?
I don't know. It just felt like it needed a my man.
A
I think it's the first time I've ever said my man to you.
It was directed at me.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
This was the quote from Mike Tomlin. Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. There's so little time that Mike Tomlin has for so many different things. He loves saying, I don't have time for this.
When you're defending every blade of grass, Dan, you don't really have time. I mean,
he doesn't have time to blink.
I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? And that will be the last time I will address it, not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never, okay?
I believe him when he says that.
The origin of why he's responding to rumors is because Carson Palmer joined the Dan Patrick Show and mentioned Tomlin's name and a bunch of USC candidates.
And so because Carson Palmer did that, it made news, and the question was fair, and his response was fantastic.
He continues, there's not a booster with a big enough check. Anyone asking Sean Payton about that? Anyone asking Andy Reid about that?
It's not about leaving, though, Dan. This is all posturing for an agent. It's great whenever a coach has his name thrown out there associated with rumors. Even if it's on a message board, if you force a local beat writer to ask you about a position, you are negotiating publicly. Mike Stoops was asked about the Miami job. Okay. And now it makes news at Mike Stoops' address. Is it Mike or Mark? Either way.
Mike.
No, I think it's Mark.
The coach of Kentucky is Mark Stoops.
Yeah. Text your mom.
There's probably a Mike, too. I'll text LeBron.
No, there's definitely a Mike Stoops.
There is a Mike Stoops.
There are a lot of Stoopses out there. They're all over the place.
But it's all posturing. It's all negotiating. James Franklin released Trace Armstrong as his agent and moved to Jimmy Sexton in the middle of the season. In the middle of the season, when his name is in all sorts of coaching rumors, he does the thing that says, I'm open for business, mainly LSU, when I hire Jimmy Sexton. It is disgusting how openly blatant this is in terms of negotiation with head coaches.
I do not think that Mike Tomlin was playing around and is trying to strong arm anyone. I think he was really annoyed and he was offended by the fact that they thought he would leave being a Steelers coach to go to college.
Mike Stoops is at FAU.
This is the first time I've ever heard a coach deny a rumor and actually believe him. I believe Mike Tomlin. He's ticked off. He has no interest in moving to LA. He loves Pittsburgh. He has one of the jobs in the NFL with probably the most job security. Like the Rooney family, they don't fire coaches. They just let you stick around forever. There's only been three coaches in history. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, I do.
We
do. Very successful franchise.
Also, USC is a dumpster fire right now. Why would you leave the stability of an NFL organization like the Steelers to go to USC and have to repair everything and then also recruit?
All great points.
I believe him.
Here's another point. Next season's a lame duck year for Mike Tomlin. It's contract extension time for Mike Tomlin. So it's good to have his name out there.
I actually have found interesting that I do believe the college jobs are better than the pro jobs now, because the pro jobs can turn over very quickly. And if you land somewhere and have a decent stint, you could be Mike Gundy for the rest of your life. You can have
Nick Saban.
You can have, well, Nick Saban's a different animal, but
Kirby Smart. You can be one of those guys.
Anywhere in college football, the job security is better. But I want to put to you what Michael Rosenberg writes, because, yes, the firm and hard no was interesting, and you don't normally hear it that way, and we can quibble about whether this is posturing or not, but I tend to believe Tomlin as well. But I thought the point he made at the end was worth examining, where he says, anyone asking Sean Payton about that, anyone asking Andy Reid stuff about that. And Michael Rosenberg writes, think about the public conversation surrounding Jim Caldwell and Anthony Lynn. Then look at their records. Caldwell went 62-50. Lynn was 33-32. Then think about how many times Kyle Shanahan, who is 31-39 in 4 years, has been called the genius. The point here is not to trash or overpraise any of the three, but in football, you are what your record says you are, unless you're a black head coach. Tomlin's right. We don't ask these questions of Andy Reid or Sean Payton. There's no reason to look at Tomlin and think he might coach college football next year. We should look at him and wonder why he doesn't have a coaching tree. Plenty of Reid and Payton assistants went on to become NFL head coaches. Tomlin has a higher winning percentage than both. Why aren't teams rating the Pittsburgh staff? Why isn't he seen as a great coach who develops other great coaches like Reid and Payton are?
All fair points, with the exception of they did at the height of John Gruden, Tennessee, and people asked him about it, were asking John Gruden, would you ever go to Tennessee? And Mike Tomlin, he has earned. He is 1,000% correct where, hey, you're not asking the other top coaches in the NFL. You're not. You're not asking them if they're interested. I'm one of those guys. I should be a Steeler for life. He's right in saying that. Like, why would you leave that job to go to USC? But they have asked other coaches before.
They have asked other white head coaches in the NFL about jobs. Yeah. I think the coaching tree is certainly fascinating. He's considered part of Dungy's tree, no? But he hasn't created a tree of his own.
Right.
But plenty of sitting NFL head coaches and assistants, white, constantly get linked to college football jobs, even while they're successful in the NFL.
He does point out that those two, though, are not... We wouldn't ask either one of them, would we?
No.
Would we ask Andy Reid or Sean Payton?
No, but we might ask Pete Carroll if he'd be interested in going back to USC. I mean, we might.
Well, since you bring up Pete Carroll, I'd actually like to have the most interesting conversation around what I think is happening here as it relates to Mike Tomlin, which is, are we still doing this? As you see, Pete Carroll can't win with Geno Smith and won't win with Geno Smith. And he says, Pete Carroll says himself, I've been here a long time. I would have been here a lot less time if I didn't have Russell Wilson. So you think you get Mike Tomlin? You're making a splash?
Splash.
Like, you're getting a name, you're hiring somebody, but do you actually think that the getting of one of these guys, have we not eliminated that, or we're still doing it? We're still doing it. There's still these guys who are going to come in, and I bring Tomlin down here to the Dolphins, and it's getting fixed. He'll just come in here and fix it because he's Mike Tomlin?
I think there are certain guys who are really good at this, really good at galvanizing a locker room.
So, yes, you're buying on the idea.
I'm not saying there's many, Dan, but Sean Payton's doing it right now with Jameis Winston.
But you've seen, well.
I mean, Dan, they're 4-2.
But Scott's, I mean, Jameis has been, and they won,
he lost Breeze, he got Winston.
They won 13-10, Stu. God, Jameis Winston has just been okay.
I'm just saying, you're asking me a question. I feel like there's a handful of coaches that, yes, if they become your head coach, you have a pretty good chance of turning out to be a good organization. Yes.
Mike Tomlin in his career has proven to be a pretty good leader of men. There was all sorts of unsettled ground in that Pittsburgh locker room, and they got off to an 11-0 start. Like, he's navigated some tough locker room
situations. I'm not saying he's not good at his job. I'm asking you how many of these guys still remain out there when you've seen the Dolphin organization swallow Parcells and Saban.
Like, sure.
How many of them are still out there? Because I'm not willing to extend that to hardly anybody anymore.
Right. Pros, I agree with you. I think Mike Tomlin would be a really good college coach. I think he's impressive if he walks into a locker room. I think I'd want to play for him if I were an 18-year-old kid. So I think college is different. The Sean Payton, Andy Reid thing doesn't necessarily, it doesn't make sense to me. There's certain guys that are just pro guys. Like Bobby Bowden was asked once if he wants to go to the NFL. There's certain people that are just married to the lifestyle of that job. I don't even have all the data to suggest what job is better, pro or college, because I don't know what pro coaches get paid. That information is not readily available. I know what Matt Campbell of Iowa State reportedly turned down to go to the NFL. And if those are numbers they're just tossing out, I can't even imagine what guys like Bill Belichick get paid. I know the lifestyle in college is hard because of the recruiting, but I don't know what the money is in the NFL.
I think the point that Rosenberg's column makes, though, is that there's 32 NFL head coaches. 5 of them are people of color. Mike Tomlin's one of them. He's long been established as an NFL head coach, and he is extremely successful. He's at the pinnacle of his career. Like, this is an ultimate achievement to be a black head coach in this league for so long, in a league that doesn't hire black people. Why would you take a step back and then go coach in college? Which is, I know you said you can see an argument. College is a step back. There's 32 NFL head coaches. Yeah. It's the pinnacle of a coach's career. You wouldn't leave that to go to college. So the implication that, like, maybe he would is a little disrespectful.
He's the third longest tenured head coach right now behind Belichick and Sean Payton. To what Jess is saying, there's only 32 of those jobs. It's not common for people to be leaving the NFL to go to college. They coach in college after they get fired from the NFL, but why would he go back and do that?
My answer to that...
And he was 12-4 last year also.
My answer to that would be, he doesn't have a quarterback. It's about to get bad for Mike Tomlin and all his genius. Like, it's... They don't have a replacement. My answer to that is Mike Tomlin right now could sign a 10-year deal at USC. Do you remember there was a time the UM was offering Dave Wannstedt 10 years? Dave Wannstedt, 10 years to not be the Dolphin coach. Mike, I'm just saying, they're really good close to professional jobs in college where you could set up the next half of your career and let Mike Tomlin have three seasons with Mason Rudolph as his quarterback and see if you think he can get all these same jobs again in 3 years.
No, that's totally fair. But if Mike Tomlin decided, hey, I no longer have a quarterback, kind of bored in Pittsburgh, want to leave Pittsburgh.
He doesn't have a quarterback.
All right, Dan, if he wants to stay in the NFL, A, he's earned it. He should be an NFL coach for life. He does not want to take a step back or a step down in his eyes. Whether you think it's a great job or not doesn't really matter. He's earned it. Teams would fire their head coach to get Mike Tomlin to be their head coach in the NFL. They would.
It's also completely insulting to suggest that he's only succeeded because of Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep.
Well, but
especially because he's a defensive-minded coach.
Pete Carroll just got done saying, why am I 2-5?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's no longer here right now.
I was a little taken aback. Like, I don't understand the insult in being linked to one of the more prestigious college football jobs. He very clearly was like, this is a step down. But Nick Saban didn't think it was a step down. Bobby Petrino didn't think it was a step down. Some people are pro guys. Some people are college guys. Some people have them on level footing. Mike Tomlin is very clearly, as someone that's been in the NFL since the year 2000, not one of those guys. He thinks it's a clear down, and he thinks it's insulting.
But Nick Saban was a failure in the NFL, and correct. He left with his tail between his legs.
He came from college, Mike. It's a bit different.
That's totally a perception. Different. Nick Saban wasn't that bad in the NFL. He wasn't that bad that season. What plagued him is about to plague Mike Tomlin if they don't have a true succession plan in place for Ben Roethlisberger. He didn't have a quarterback.
But he came from college where he controls who the players are and realized pretty quickly, I have no control over who my quarterback is going to be. I'm going back there.
Also, maybe I'm naive, but if you think Mike Tomlin's the kind of coach who's going to leave that great job just because they don't have a franchise quarterback in a year or 2 years, like, that would shock me.
I'm not talking about him leaving by his own choice. I'm talking, we'll see how much the Rooneys are about stability and their coach when Mason Rudolph has them at 2-15. And they don't have a quarterback or a way out.
Why do you think that's the plan, though? Problem then.
Well, specific to Pittsburgh, they have not shown any foresight when it comes to their quarterback situation. Ben Roethlisberger has been at the last vestiges of his career for several years, and the only plan they've had is Mason Rudolph.
3-3.
And Dwayne Haskins. They have to get really lucky in a weaker quarterback class this year in the draft if this year's a plan, or make a move.
Which they can do.
Yeah, they can make a move.
They can. They can absolutely make a move.
Aaron Rodgers likes him. You guys are always talking about Rodgers.
If the plan is Aaron Rodgers, go get him. I imagine Aaron Rodgers is going to have a lot of suitors. If Aaron Rodgers decides moving to Pittsburgh, an ambiguous region of the country that none of us can label, with his starlet wife, go for it. But
Green Bay is not like
a
destination.
Well, he's trying to leave.
Right.
So now that he's getting married. I would say if that's a plan, go for it. But that's a go for broke type of plan.
I also want to make the point, like, I know you've said this a lot on the show, that Ben Roethlisberger has been in decline for many, many years. I don't think that's necessarily true, because 2018 was his statistical best season of his career. Yeah. And then he got injured, and then he came back from the injury, and he hasn't looked the same.
Fair
so
enough.
This isn't like a long time coming. He's been in decline forever.
Road Ben has been a thing, though, for a couple of years now.
But your guys' solution is just, it's going to be hard to run away from the problem, and you think Mike Tomlin is going to do that?
Oh, it's not a solution, and it's not even something I'm advocating for. I'm just interested that it's not quite as clear-cut as people seem to think it is between pro and college and how good those jobs are. And I understand why he would get insulted by that, but I've long thought, man, being part of a regional community and being part of something that feels like college football and having the job security and no salary cap and the ability to go get a new quarterback all the time if my quarterback's not any good without the restrictions, I think those are exceptional jobs.
But the job security is the part that probably frustrates Mike Tomlin. Like, hey, why are you asking me about this? I'm one of the great coaches at the professional level. Why am I being asked these questions? And again, he's being asked because Carson Palmer said it on the Dan Patrick Show.
Exactly. He's a pro football coach. He's not a college coach.
And we shouldn't
ignore the fact that the job he is denying is USC. This isn't a great job where you walk in on day one and things are set up for you to succeed. They've had some real struggles over the last few years, including in the wider athletic department with this Operation Varsity Blues things. There's all these lawsuits. There's recruiting violations. Like, there's a ton going on there. It's not the Steelers, and it's not even a great college program where you can just walk in and recruit your guys out of Southern Cal, and all of a sudden you're great again. Like, that's going to be a hard job for whoever takes it.
That's exactly right. Like, if it was that easy to just replace the quarterback and be there forever, the job wouldn't be available. Because whoever was there before wouldn't have lost the job.
I wasn't even doing it as a USC job. I was actually thinking of it, would he consider under any circumstances going to college? Or would any of those people in his position consider it? Because he'd be the least likely to consider it, given that he's one of the few who does have something right. That resembles relationship job security with the people in charge, and is also regarded, I think, by everyone listening here, yes, he's one of the best at this. But is it insulting to ask one of the best top 10 people in those jobs to consider a college job, a hypothetical one? The LSU one is a good college job.
Sure.
Do you want to go be Nick Saban? Do you want to go to the SEC?
I think Mike Tomlin likes being Mike Tomlin.
But don't make it Mike enough. Tomlin. Make right. it any of them, though. Like, right. We don't have to. And I also want to just ask more generally of the audience and all of you, does Shailene Woodley classify as a starlet? You called her a starlet. I don't know if she is.
Actress? I don't know. I was just...
But Starlet is high up on the list, right?
I mean, she was a temple attraction for a big time franchise.
So she qualifies.
I'd rather get in the weeds in Tomlin than Shailene Woodley. Feel more in my depth.
It's interesting to see Tomlin insulted by it. And
that to me is a takeaway. I think you should say, I'm with him. That's a great job in Pittsburgh, and it's great job security. The notion that he got so insulted by that, I don't know if it has to do with race, tenure. I like dissecting that. And I just flatly don't know what is a better job, the University of Alabama or LSU or the Pittsburgh Steelers, because I'm just missing so much information. And very clearly, I'm missing it because Mike Tomlin was insulted at the fact that USC, which I consider a tier below that, to be a huge insult to the man.
Dan, from a journalistic standpoint, if Carson Palmer said that about Belichick, a reporter would ask Belichick, correct? I mean, Tomlin's insulted.
I don't know. Would you ask Belichick whether...
If Carson Palmer, who went to USC, said it?
You tell me. If you can imagine the press conference where someone's asking Belichick, hey, Bill, do you want the USC job?
Well, you would say it. Hey, Carson Palmer said recently.
You tell me whether you think.
I'd be so nervous asking that question.
But I mean, that's why it's ridiculous, because Mike Tomlin's won two AFC championships. He's played in the Super Bowl twice. He's never had a losing record. Even in the years that Mason Rudolph had to come in and replace Ben Roethlisberger, like, he is one of the best NFL coaches, not just currently, but in history. So asking him, are you going to take this college job? Are you interested in it? That's why he probably got mad, because he's like, what the hell are you guys talking about? You would never ask Belichick this.
Are you of the belief, as a newbie around here in our Menchies, are you of the belief that I could take Mike Tomlin and put him in Detroit and make a difference, that I can take Mike Tomlin, put him in Miami or with the Jets and make a difference? Are you of the belief that travels with Mike Tomlin? Because I'm you know where I stand on this, Stugatz,
sure.
And even as I've seen the sport change in a way that I don't understand how some of these offensive coordinators are this good at what they do, I'm not scared of the Patriots anymore at all. And I won't be scared of Mac Jones 3 or 4 years from now either. I'm not going to be scared of Mac Jones.
Careful, man.
Careful.
Yeah. It's off to a dangerous game. Than Tom Brady was, statistically. Yeah. You want to say dink and dunk and all that, but Tom Brady was that early in his career.
He was. I mean, yes. And they won a Super Bowl, whatever it was, 1917, over the greatest show on turf during a playoff run where Tom Brady threw one touchdown pass, was a champion throwing one touchdown pass, an entire postseason run that I think had a first-round game in it.
He also got one ring for that.
I think there are organizations like the Lions, like you mentioned, that do, and the Jets, that have organizational dysfunction that even great coaches can't overcome. But I do think that if you dump Mike Tomlin there, he'd probably still do a pretty good job because he's become one of the most well-respected coaches in the league for a reason. Like, he has a level of like cool calmness, stability, and football IQ that earned him the job for all of these years and is the reason that he's been so successful.
Have you seen Mac Jones the last four games? I mean, it's completion percentage is over 70%. The rating's over 100.
Like, good morning, box scores.
Well, no, before standing Stu.
I mean, you know that off the top of your head. I mean,
standing Stu was here a second ago. He spit at us 4-2 and 3-3. His analysis of Jameis Winston was 4-2.
I'm just saying, Sean Payton, you take Drew Brees away, right? Like, Dan, I'm with you. Like, hey, you have Drew Brees, you're going to be good. You take him away, he's still 4-2. Give him credit.
No, but this is, it's a little absolute. These are only good jobs if you have a quarterback. And these coaches, I believe, are only top-end good if they can make a good quarterback. So if you guys are saying, careful, Mac Jones is going to be Tom Brady in 3 or 4 years because Belichick can teach him all that needs to be taught differently than anyone else can teach it, so that Mac Jones can be better than Kyler Murray or Aaron Rodgers or whoever he's going to be better. I don't know about you guys. You guys think the Patriots are going to return from the dead? Because he couldn't do it with Cam Newton. He couldn't resuscitate Cam Newton. He was trying to do that. That didn't work.
If the quarterback's good, then yes. I'm not certain if the reason the quarterback's going to be good is going to be Bill Belichick. Yeah. The quarterback just might be good. They may have gotten lucky again.
Yeah, I don't know, to answer your question. I'm going to extend Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt to give him a couple of years to develop a quarterback that he's handpicked.
But that's what Mike Tomlin wants.
Yeah.
And you guys are saying he should go to USC?
No, I'm not saying. No. Fallacy. No one said. No one said that.
That is a straw man. Not.
That's the way I heard it, Billy.
Can we get the straw man graphic?
Never once.
Straw man. Not once. He doesn't have a quarterback. He should go to college.
Things are going to be tough for you.
Because no college is a better job than the NFL. He hasn't done shit without Ben Roethlisberger.
These are not direct quotes.
Paraphrasing.
Mike Tomlin's a jerk, and I hate Mike. I can't believe you said that. Like, you're such a biased Browns fan.
He hates
it's
being
disgusting.
Up in the Northeast.
I wanted Mike Tomlin to be hired by the Dolphins, quite famously. I was told by someone he was too hip hop. That's a real life story.
It is a real story.
It's not told by someone. It was the guy.
The guy that was heading up the search.
He was the CEO of the Dolphins.
Yes.
The guy heading up the search was in the bullpen. I was an intern, interning for this show and the Kevin Rogers show. It was me and Brandon Guzio that was in the bullpen. It was Jimmy Cephalo, who was headed into the Dolphin Hour, and Dolphins CEO Joe Bailey. And we were talking about the Dolphin search. Brandon Guzzi was a big Dolphins fan at the time, so he was super into the coaching search. And we were going around on who we'd hire, and I'm like, oh, I'd hire Mike Tomlin. This was when he was a coordinator, I think, in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I would hire Mike Tomlin. I think he's an impressive coach. What he's done with that defense is good. Appears to be a good leader of men. What do I know? I'm 19. But Cephalo goes to Joe Bailey, you met with Tomlin, didn't you? What'd you think? To hip hop.
Mm.
And that's a direct quote.
Yep.
This is why he's probably getting pissed when people are asking questions that they don't ask Andy Reid and Sean McVay. I mean, Jesus.
And this is why I'm pissed. We ended up with Cam Cameron.
I had to go in and produce that show afterwards. Piss all around.
One season of Cam Cameron. That was only one season, right? It was only.
I love that when Billy was fake musing me, I got so defensive that I was like, "I've been Mike Tomlin since day one."
You really have. You have, and then you threw out your Tomlin bona fides. You got.
I love Mike Tomlin. I think he's terrific.
I mean, Mike had it at 19. He said that Tomlin was a great leader of men.
I mean, obviously, everyone wants a brilliant quarterback mind, but I think, especially as a Cleveland Browns fan, being a leader of men is something that is so far overlooked. When you bring in a McAdoo just because he worked with the Aaron Rodgers and helped design a Packers offense, or Cam Cameron, it's like everybody's a professional football player. They're all the best in the world. Who's going to have the team play the hardest for them consistently? And Mike Tomlin has proven over his 20-year career that his players play hard for him. They don't give up. They've had plenty of excuses in Pittsburgh over the last few years to give up on him, and they don't. So I think he's a tremendous head coach.
Dominique used to talk about Dominique Foxworth, about coaches as CEOs, about leaders, about, you know, like, listen, forget about the X's and O's. Hire a leader. Hire a CEO. Hire a person who can motivate your players, galvanize a locker room. Dan, I'm not certain I would want anyone else to be in charge of my organization than Mike Tomlin. Like, that's how good he is. I think he might be the best coach in the NFL. When you consider everything, Dan, leading, setting the right example, caring, working very hard, saying all the right things, doing all the right things, and meaning them.
So you'd take him over Belichick?
I think I would. Yeah. Yeah. I would.
This is unbelievable. What are you the guys started so with he should leave, and now he's the greatest coach of all time.
That's what I do.
That's what he does.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.